This is an email we got the other day from Zach. I'll go ahead and read it. One thing I've been thinking about is how it can be difficult to enjoy the process of an activity rather than simply focusing on the output of that activity. I have struggled with this a lot recently as I've been trying to drop some hobbies I don't feel great about in favor of learning some new hobbies that I view as more worthwhile endeavors. The problem I've encountered is that while I want to work on these things at a philosophical level, I don't always feel the raw inspiration or motivation needed to overcome the challenge of learning something new and difficult. Or put more simply, sometimes I feel like I don't want to pursue these hobbies as much as I want to pursue them. Specifically, this has been the case for me trying to write music on piano. I am relatively new to the instrument, but I have been trying to write music as an outlet and a form of creative expression. In my head, I want to be content with sitting down for a few hours at a time and experimenting, even if I don't end up with anything to show for it, or at least anything good to show for it. But in practice, I've found myself frustrated after such sessions and wondering if they were just a waste of time. I want to enjoy the process, but I have a very achievement-oriented personality and tend to only enjoy the process when I can see my progress in some tangible way. I'm not sure what the solution to this problem is. I sometimes wonder if I'm pursuing the right hobby by trying to force motivation that isn't always there organically. Then again, I think most hobbies worth pursuing are certain to come with some challenges, and navigating the frustration that comes along with trying to overcome those challenges is a necessary skill on the way to achieving anything worthwhile. Maybe it's just a matter of trying to train myself to enjoy the process and have a better mindset that isn't so achievement-oriented or changing what constitutes an achievement, but that's easier said than done.
Just for reference, this is one of the shortest emails we've gotten.
Right.
How would we sum this up?
Well, Zach, I just read the whole thing, so...
All right, fine. I'll sum it up. So Zach is expressing something that I've personally experienced on a deep level, and it's very frustrating sometimes. I think the short version is sometimes you just like something, some hobby, and you just do. And you kind of get this feeling of, man, if I was spending my time doing something more important... writing music, you know, something that I feel is valuable and, you know, a more worthwhile endeavor. You try to do that more worthwhile thing and then it's not there. You just don't seem to like it so much. Is that fair?
Yeah. Or, you know, you have these big goals, these giant aspirations. You want to be this type of person or do this, you know, epic, yeah, awesome thing, but then when you sit down to actually do it, you don't really feel like doing it, or yeah, it just seems too hard. And yeah,
so I think there's maybe two different directions I want to look at this from. One, I want to, and you can tell me if you feel differently, but the first one for me is, why does that happen? Why is it that something will capture your attention? It feels easy and fun. You just find yourself getting sucked into it. And maybe that thing just is not important or matter or isn't part of your big vision for your life. You just like it. It's fun. Why does that happen? And why is it that something that you want to, or I think Zach said you want to like it. I want to be sitting down composing music. That feels rewarding and creative and all those things, but then when you actually do it, it just doesn't happen. Why? What's different? What is it about these things that cause us to feel one way or the other? And then the second angle here is there things you can do about that? How do you deal with your day-to-day, and can you and should you shape things to where you're enjoying writing music more and stuff like that?
Well, the way I kind of took it was that he sees himself as being, you know, a musician, someone that writes music, and he really loves this idea. But then when he goes to do it, it becomes really frustrating, right? Like, it's difficult. And you described this want to be this type of musician as sort of this easy, fun thing. But I don't know if I totally got that from this, or even if that matters. But it seems like there's this big thing that he wants to be. He wants to be this musician that writes music, but he goes to write music and he gets really frustrated with it. And then he's kind of asking, well, should I even try to be a musician? You know, is it even worth it? Did I choose the wrong hobby? Or like, do I even love this thing? And I feel like the common response to this would be, well, maybe you don't really love being a musician. Maybe you really don't want to do this. You know, maybe you should try something else, right? Like that would be a pretty typical response.
Yeah.
But I would argue, or I would tend to argue against that and say that if you really love something, or even just the idea of something, you latched onto this. And he said that he finds this like philosophically fulfilling. This is a thing that he sees himself doing and yeah. wants to do. I would say that if you feel that way about anything, there's something genuine about that. It may not be super clear, you know, exactly why you want to be, you know, whatever type of musician you're thinking. But there's something genuine about that love or that longing for becoming that thing. So before you give up because doing it seems frustrating, I would give it a chance first. I think there are some ways that you can go about this where you could end up being that type of person that you want to be. I think more often than not, that love for something is real, and it just because you get a little frustrated with the actual means of achieving that goal doesn't mean that it's not for you.
You're a believer.
You think I'm a believer. I'm a okay. dreamer, yes.
So I have... I'm sort of maybe halfway between those two. I think some, like you said, would just dismiss it outright and say, you didn't like it, then try something else. You know, not everybody's meant to be a musician. And I don't know if that I would take that perspective, but I remember teaching a lot. And one thing that was really common for kids, adults, everybody, was that you'd have somebody coming in who wanted to do music lessons or learn to play the guitar or learn to play the piano. And they loved the idea of doing it in their head. They had this fantasy of, I want to be able to play at parties and have people go, wow, so cool. And they just had this vision of themselves. Yeah. And they'd even tell you about this vision of themselves. But then when you actually got down to playing on the instrument, they just weren't into it. And maybe they could have been. Maybe they could have... you know, change their thinking a bit. I do think there's a lot of room for that. But often enough, they didn't want to play. They wanted to be a player or somebody who was good, not somebody right. who gets good. And I've never really met anyone who was, take a performing art, something where you spend a ton of time practicing, honing this craft. And then it doesn't even have to be a performing art, but just to stay on topic. But you spend tons of time honing your craft, and then you have these very small moments of, you know, the glamour of playing a show and getting that recognition for it or something. I've never met anyone who was purely motivated by that moment of glory. You know, that I spent 10 years learning guitar and becoming really good just because all I care about is that being on stage and having people go nuts for my cool guitar solo or something. Not that anybody does guitar solos anymore, right? Like you have to like playing the instrument, period.
Yes. No, I totally agree with you. And I'm glad that you said that because when I read this, I'm thinking of myself, you know, how I have absolutely experienced this all the time.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when I played music, I wanted to be, you know, a certain type of musician. And there were times where I would get extremely frustrated with it, where I thought, maybe I don't want to be a musician. But it would turn out that I was just doing things the wrong way. And when I got things right, you know, off and on, you get something right, it absolutely was just as wonderful and amazing as I ever thought it would be, right? So it was just a matter of me, you know, applying the methods the wrong way or just having some kind of misconception about how I should practice or whatever. And so I was just wrong in my execution of trying to carry out that goal. But it ended up being absolutely worth it. And I was right when I loved that idea of being a musician. And same with art. I mean, I have this drive to, you know, be an artist, but there's tons of times where I'm like, good Lord, should I even be doing this? Like, I, you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm just depressed about it or whatever. But it turns out that, you know, when I keep doing it and I get things right, that it, you know, I feel confident that absolutely, yes, I am right in loving that idea. So, but at the same time, I know exactly what type of students you're talking about because I also know them. And it's kind of like, okay, you are in the wrong place. You never should have picked up a guitar. You don't care about guitar. So yes, it's possible that Zach is like that, but I don't,
the people who are like that didn't vocalize things in such an intelligent and carefully thought out way. I don't think Zach is like that, but.
Well, the fact that he's reaching out like this, right? Writing a long, very well thought out email, it seems like this is not a thing he wants to give up on quickly. And so in my mind, I kind of took the assumption that this is something he truly loves, just running into some big issues. And it's kind of, obstructing the path.
Well, here's how I would summarize my thought on this, though, is that in terms of composing, Zach said he wants to want to. He wants to to feel good in that process of writing music, where you can sit down for 2 hours and compose music and come away feeling like you got better, that you enjoyed yourself at a minimum, that something good came out of it. And he specifically talks about progression, this feeling of wanting to measure things and feel like you're getting better. I relate to that so much. I am exactly like that. If I'm doing something that doesn't have some notion of progression, I have a really hard time. So I think the goal is that at one way or another, you have to get to the point where that process does feel good, where you can sit down and compose or work on your songwriting to where you actually do feel good about it. If that never happens, then you are screwed because you aren't going to spend the requisite thousands of hours doing that if it's a grind.
Right. But I think that is so learnable.
Oh, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying that's the goal.
Like, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to dismiss it. I'm just saying that you have to get there one way or another. And if not, then it is something to give up because you will not survive it if you don't get there.
Agreed.
Okay. So how do you get there?
Okay, well, I kind of want to talk about this because it seems specific to what he's doing. And you call me out if I'm just off, but he talks about, and I think this is a big deal, he says he wants to be able to sit down and write music, experiment for 4 hours. He says 4 hours. Okay, that's a long time. He wants to be able to play piano, experimenting for 4 hours, and be happy with whatever he walks away with. So if if he walks away with nothing new, or he's, what's he say? All right. He has nothing to show for it. He wants to be okay with that. And I feel like there's just a big misconception there about what experimenting is, period. And if you're doing this part wrong, then playing music is not going to go well. Because I have done this for both music and art, where you sit down and quote-unquote experiment. You can do it the wrong way, and you can do it the right way. I mean, it's not quite that simple, but I've had times where I do it absolutely wrong and end up very frustrated, just like what he's talking about. And I've had times where it goes really well. And he says he wants to be happy with having nothing to show for it. And I think, who in the hell would be happy spending 4 hours with absolutely nothing to show for anything at the end of it? Like, that's not a him thing. That's a human thing. And so, okay, if you think about a scientist, Okay, walking into a lab. And he takes one chemical and another chemical and just mixes it together and goes, oh, cool reaction. And then walks over to some other chemicals, mixes them together and go, oh, cool. And then the whole day, or for 4 hours, he just goes around mixing chemicals and going, oh, cool. And then at the end of that, he just walks away. Well, he's experimented in the very wrongest way he could. He's learned nothing. He's gathered no new data. He's got nothing other than he just kind of mindlessly observed everything, right? Or just like on autopilot observed stuff happening. But he wasn't theorizing. He wasn't actually experimenting. If you imagine another scientist walking into that lab, looking at two chemicals and going, I wonder what would happen if I mix these two. And then he mixes them. And then he goes, wow, that's not the reaction I was expecting. You know, what if I did this in a different temperature? Would it change things? Or what if I grabbed, you know, two different chemicals? Or what if I changed like the ratio of them? Or what if I changed the temperature or lighting or whatever, you know? Then you're learning stuff. You're actually experimenting, you know? You're collecting data. It's experimenting is a data collection. And if you're playing around with music or art or whatever, you want to be taking things and actually, like, I don't know, thinking like a scientist. What happens when I mix these two chords? What happens when I mix these two songs? What if I change the chords into arpeggios? What if this? What if that? Like, you're playing around with stuff. And you're actually learning. And at the end of 4 hours, you should have tons of new information. So maybe I'm drawing conclusions where I shouldn't be. But I feel like I have experienced this exact thing where I did a challenge back in February where I had to come up with a new drawing every single day. And there were days where I did it very wrong, just like the bad scientist, where I just kind of like drew some stuff with like no previous thought or content behind it. And it, you know, with no context, it looks like nothing. Of course it does.
Yeah.
But then there were other days where you sort of fill this well of creativity with new information and new stuff that you're excited about. Then when you go to do the drawing or the experimenting, you have tons of stuff to play with and you learn all kinds of things. So it's like you can't drink from an empty well. So if you just experiment with no purpose, you get nothing. And so I guess what I'm saying is that if he's doing this, I'm not saying he is or isn't or whatever, but I'm projecting myself onto this, because why not? If you go in with the wrong state of mind or you don't have things to actually experiment with, you're going to end up frustrated at the end of 4 hours because you just wasted 4 hours.
Okay, so I agree with you, but I want to counterpoint a little bit. Not even counterpoint, just illustrate something else. So there's a coffee shop that it's my favorite coffee shop around here. We moved a little farther away, so I haven't been there as much, but I used to go there just about every day. I still go there sometimes. And every day that I've been there, I mean, virtually every day, maybe 80% of them, since 8 years ago, every day, there's this guy. He shows up, he sits on the out front on the little patio thing, and he plays his guitar. I mean, he must be there just all day, all the time, because, again, every time I'm there, he's there. And he plays, and he's not bad, but he's not great either. You know, he just plays. He kind of strums through some chords and does a little bit of finger pick type stuff, and nothing that anyone would be super impressed with, but not unpleasant either. And he has not progressed even the slightest in 8 years. Again, not bad, not good, just, you know, whatever. And I have no idea if he's, well, I don't think he's deeply frustrated with that, because he wouldn't be playing every single day for the past 8 years. I think, I'm just observing and theorizing, but I think that he just wants to play. And he's fine with that. And I don't think he's trying to progress his skills or anything like that. He just enjoys playing the guitar. And if he spends 4 hours out in front of the coffee shop playing his guitar, and then he goes home and does the exact same thing the next day, he appears to be totally cool with that. And honestly, that's not a bad way to spend your afternoon. You know, way worse things you could be doing. So That's, to me, that is 100% totally legit. You can do that. You can just do something and enjoy it and never progress or change or anything. But, okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I can't do that. In fact, I can't do that to the point where it is a problem. I have a hard time doing things, just relaxing, doing something that should just be done for its own sake, because I'm almost unhealthily obsessed with gotta get better and work on myself and blah, 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 right? So there's these different elements to it. And I agree with you in the sense that, well, I think that you should decide which one of those you want, and trying to blend them together is not a good recipe. If you're composing, like you want to write music and you want to get good at it, then you have to think about, I need to figure out how to progress in this thing that I'm pursuing. Because if you don't, you can't just go, well, I just want to enjoy it. I think you really have to identify one or the other. And if you just play for fun, you can still get better. But I think just not having a clearly defined path is a big mistake there. So I guess I agree with you. It sounds like Zach is this type of person who wants progression. And if you do, then you have to figure it out. Like you said, if you're just kind of doing stuff, throwing things together, you know, with little regard for what actually happens. I mean, I've done this 1,000 times over, you know, music especially, because it seems to be just easy to do, where you noodle around, play some stuff, and you walk away with nothing. You know, if you want to progress, you got to figure out how to not do that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I would say, when that guy's playing around, you know, and seemingly maybe doing the same type of stuff year after year. Yep. I feel like I've also done that a bit, you know, with music. I still think it can pretty much just be that he is experimenting. He's just, you know, using the same, you know, 30 chords or whatever, and just doing all different variations on that. So he's not, you know, he's not adding a whole lot more stuff to it, but he's still just sort of experimenting. Whether or not he's, you know, I don't know, entitled to the word experimenting, I don't know, or what noodling around means or whatever. But okay, I do totally agree with you about the progress. And remember in the Batman effect, where
yes, I remember. Week ago.
Yes, from last week. You have these researchers that had these kids sit in front of this box. And in the box, the researchers put a toy that the kids really wanted to play with. And then they give the kids this ring of keys, which actually don't open the box. But they tell the kid to then unlock the box and get to the toy. So they sit there trying to unlock the box to get to the toy, because that's the thing that they want to play with. That is the goal. That's the reward, is that toy in the box. So they sit there trying to open the box, and they get really frustrated with it, okay? Because they're not getting to their reward. Just like Zach with his big goal of becoming the type of person who can do all of this, right? So his reward is way in the future. It's in the box of the future. But then you have these other kids where the researchers did the same thing, but they give them a Batman cape and say, now you're Batman, unlock the box. And the kids get all excited because now the reward is unlocking the box itself, right? Because they're playing pretend and they're really excited. At least that's what I think is going on with that experiment. And then they're loving the whole process, right? So they've taken the reward from this far off future box and they've moved it to right now and this problem solving thing. And with any of these big goals that we have, I think you have to pay very close attention to where your reward is. If you fixate on this future idealized version of yourself accomplishing this thing, everything in the way, everything before that. So if you want to be, you know, an amazing composer, musician in 20 years, that's going to be a miserable 20 years if all you care about is getting to that point.
Yeah.
But if you start finding ways of getting rewards right in front of you. So if, and like you said, you need to figure out that aspect. You need to figure out what it is you need to do to improve. So one thing that I did when I was doing that skeleton drawing thing, my goal was to be able to draw the, you know, human skeleton from memory, the whole thing. And when I started doing it, I would draw it out, and then I'd step back and be like, oh God, that's awful. And so during the week, I'd kind of learn some random things, you know, hoping that they would help me or whatever. And a couple weeks went by like that, and I wasn't making really any progress. So I was like, I need to be more specific about what it is that I want to improve. So what I would do is I would, you know, draw the whole thing from memory, and then I'd step back and I'd get the reference of what it should look like, you know, the exact thing. And then I just sit there and like explode the problem is what I would call it. And I'd sit there with a pencil and just write down every single thing I either got wrong or I was confused about, or I just wasn't quite sure of. And I would end up with this list of like 30 things. It'd be like, you know, you drew 5 ribs when actually there's 12, or, you know, your proportions are totally off. You forgot a leg, or your femur is 2 feet too long, or, you know, whatever. Or I would write down things like your technique is messy, you know, or your process is confused or whatever. So I'd have this huge list. And then for that week, that was my reward program. You know, I'd go through that. Like, it was no longer about, oh, I want to do the whole thing from memory someday, and I want to be that great. It was like, oh, I got 30 things. I got 30 rewards in front of me. You know, I immediately brought it right down to right in front of me. And it's just a matter of going through all of those things. And so that helped me tremendously. So for someone like Zach, who's trying to, yeah, it's hard to draw too many conclusions off of one email. We don't know you personally, but for someone like that, Zach, who wants to be this musician, you know, someday wants to be great or whatever. And then you have these 4 hours where you're not really sure what to do. And you're just experimenting with like no clear direction. You don't know if it's getting you closer to your goal or not. You're just playing around, and if you're not enjoying it and it's not getting you any closer to that goal, it's like, you know, it's just this confused mess, which I've absolutely been in before.
Yeah.
So one way that I would do to try to help that is to start jotting down, like explode the problem, write down every single thing that's not working. What is it that you don't enjoy? You know, what chords, or, you know, I don't know, what songs do you like? What type of sounds or things you did you actually enjoy? And start like really analyzing what you did, and then, you know, come up with ideas on what to do next or whatever. Like, just really start exploding the problem out and move all of that giant goal reward that's, you know, 20 years in the future, and bring it into right now. Like, you know, what do you want to accomplish right now? And that, to me, like, satisfying curiosity is one of the most enjoyable things that ever. And if you're curious about what you're working on right then, it can be really enjoyable, and that is your reward. So yeah.
So I really like that you presented it that way. I haven't come up with a great name for this yet. A few people have brought it up, though. There's this feeling you get sometimes where it's almost like the thing that you're trying to do feels like this smooth surface with no cracks in it, and you just can't get anything going. It's like you sit down to try and compose, and it's just this feeling of, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get better. Actually, this was a long time ago, and I never responded to this person, so sorry. But I think they were asking about Brawlhalla, which is a fighting game, sort of like Smash Brothers or something. But they were saying how they had kind of gotten to this point in skill, and then just weren't sure how to get better. Where you know, the game just felt chaotic, and there's all these different characters you have to play against, and they have these different weapons, and so it felt like, I don't know what to do, I'm kind of stuck. I just play, and sometimes I win, and sometimes I lose, but I don't know how to, I don't know what I need to work on, or...
Right.
How do you crack that egg? I feel like that's the feeling. And what you were saying about, you know, drawing the skeleton, that just... It has that giant scope to it where if you can get to the point where you have that list of, I did this wrong, I forgot that there are this many ribs, not that many, or I couldn't remember the shape of this, I don't know, thing on the skull or whatever. If you have these specific things, then suddenly that's something to work on. That's a problem to be solved. And what usually happens, I think, is that once you kind of get in that crack, it becomes the opposite problem, where suddenly there's mm-hmm. just more things than you can even think about at once to work on. You just realize, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff that I can, you know, I have a list of 1,000 action items, which is a way better place to be. It's overwhelming, but that's a good place to be versus that smooth egg feeling of just can't get anywhere. So, okay, a couple thoughts here. One, I do think, I don't know if this is answering the question exactly as Zach posed it. I think there may have been this more philosophical bent to it of how do I, you know, why do I not enjoy something when I do enjoy some other thing? But I would say in the case of music, composing music, I really think that if the thinking is I want to be good at writing music, then you have to focus on that from a progression standpoint. I personally would not be happy if I sat down to compose for 4 hours and walked away with nothing substantial. You know, no feeling of progression, no problems to go after, no problems solved, no good music written. Right. You know, maybe some people would. Maybe the guy at the coffee shop is. I'm not. I don't want to do that.
No, I don't think anyone wants nothing. Like, no one wants no progression. Like, even the guy who's just noodling around, like, he's finding enjoyment out of mixing certain things. And, you know, he might find that same enjoyment for years. But he's not leaving with nothing. Like, he's getting something out of it. So no one wants nothing. Like, you should not train yourself to enjoy not doing anything or not getting anything out of it. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but... I just don't think so.
Let's operate on that assumption because that's more or less where I'm headed anyway. So yeah, let's just say be happy with nothing. If you did 4 hours and nothing came out of it, you failed, you messed up, you did it wrong. We got to figure out how to do it better.
I feel like, you know, when he says I'm an achievement oriented person and then you say I'm also an achievement oriented person, it's like,
yeah.
Every goddamn human is an achievement oriented person.
All right.
Okay. Sorry.
You're right. We're not special. We're just normal people.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you for setting us straight. Okay.
Did I throw you off?
No. Well, yeah, but that's fine. Okay. Here's some specific thoughts, all right? Like, what is the actual advice? Okay. If we can all do it wrong, how do you do it better?
Right.
In my mind, one of the biggest problems with composing music is that it is so ridiculously open-ended that it's hard to even think about it. You know, if you just sit down and say, I want to write a song, I mean, it is literally an infinite search space of the possible songs you could write. There are thousands of different genres and styles, and I mean, even those are just giant broad categories, never mind the particular differences in there. And it's so big, it's hard to even do anything with. It's like if you sat down with this blank canvas and just started putting paint on it, it's too much, right? It's too big, and it's so easy to wind up in that smooth egg feeling of just I made some chords, and you almost weirdly, if you try to attack something that's that wide open, you almost always wind up doing the same thing. You just sort of fall back to those same chords, those same little patterns, and it just tends to gravitate that way because you just don't know what to do. So that, to me, is not a good way to do it. I think, ideally, the ideal case is that you get, I hate to use this term, but you get inspired. You have some idea, something you hear. It usually comes from something external. Like you hear something and think, I like that, but I want to turn that into this and that. And you have these ideas of this is the thing that I want to capture. And then you sit down and your skill has to be at a level where you can do this. But you sit down and you try to create this idea that you had. And you probably discover stuff along the way. But there's some vision that you're following, right? Like you don't sit down to paint a painting until you have some concept of, hey, here's at least loosely what I want to do. I had this idea. I think it'll be cool. I want to tell that story.
No. Not at all. You cannot do that. You need whatever. This was too long of a rant. But yes, absolutely. You need restrictions and you need a specific problem to solve. It can be, you know, as simple as, oh, I want to express, you know, anger on the canvas. And so you splash some dark colors or whatever. Or I want to express joy. So you dab some pastel colors or whatever, but you still have some kind of specific problem that you're solving. You are saying something specific. We've joked about this before, but if you try to talk without context, if someone says, hey, I need to check the mic, can you just talk for a second? You go, mic check 1, 1, 2, I'm talking, I'm still talking, mic check 1, what do I say? I don't really know. Like, you have no context. You have nothing except you know you have to talk. And if you're the type of person that wants to be, you know, a composer, then it's very, very easy to make the mistake of, oh, I have to be a composer, so I need to sit down and compose. But that is exactly the same as trying to talk without context. You will end up sounding like a complete idiot. So you need you are completely right. You need specific problems and context. You have to say something with that music. It's a communication device. Same with art. Like, you need something specific to say.
Go ahead. I like that example of the mic thing because it's very true. So here's my feeling here. So when you want to create a song, that's the ideal thing. You get an idea, you're inspired, you said you have this context, this thing you're after. But if you're starting out, that is way beyond your skill set. I mean, if you don't know how to write music yet, you just have done very little of it. This idea of, oh, I had a dream about this thing and I'm going to, you know, convey that through music, you're just not there. I think you, in order to crack that egg, you have to start way smaller. And what I found to be really valuable, I hated it at the time, but when I was in school for music, there was lots of different courses. I took composing courses and everything, but also just others would say, okay, we want y'all to compose this thing in this style or whatever. And I would get these really boring excitements of, okay, you got to compose something in the style of this 4-part choral harmony or something with all these really tight restrictions on you can never have parallel fifths and you can't always, there's these really strict rules on how the harmony had to work or something else. Like you gotta write a fugue and it has to follow these things and you have one theme and that has to repeat, and it felt so rigid. But at the same time, that was the challenge of, okay, I mean, some people just sort of phoned it in and completed the assignment, but then why are you in music school if you aren't trying to be good? Like, nobody gives those people jobs. Not that I got a job in music. Anyway, it was this challenge of, okay, I have to write with these super rigid rules. Can I make it something cool? And so you would just explore inside those very rigid rules and try to find something that sounded cool that I could, you know, feel good about. And that was so much more achievable than to say, hey, just write literally anything that sounds cool. Like, here's your very tight restrictions that are actually oppressive and annoying. And that actually can get you somewhere. So I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to do it for somebody starting out. But here's what I think would be good. You know, if you're trying to get better at writing, one way of framing that is that you want to be able to convey through music some feeling or texture or just something. Like, you're trying to convey that through the music itself. if you're trying to write a country song, you want it to sound like a country song, not like a rap song or, you know, a choral piece or something. So the way that machine learning works, specifically for music, is they'll train these AIs by, I mean, it's complicated, but in some sense, the simple version is you give this AI a piece of music, like not a whole piece, but like a piece of music, a couple measures, and then you tell the AI to make the next one. And so the AI comes up with music that it thinks could follow after that. And then you compare, or, you know, the machine program compares what this AI wrote to what was actually written, and then sees how close it was, and then kind of rates it on like, this was pretty good or this was not. And then you know, get rid of the crappy AI little programs and keep the good ones and keep changing it. And eventually you get some that are really good at doing this, where they can write, you know, music that, you know, coming from an existing piece of music, and it follows the style really well. I actually think that would be a great way to train a person is, mm-hmm. Hey, here's some music, write what comes next and try to make it sound like this song sounds. You know, you need to fit this style. So how do you do that? What notes convey this vibe? What kind of rhythms are, you know, convey this type of style? And then how well does that match up with what the song actually does? And you can almost train yourself inside of this, you know, the styles and things that you're interested in of, hey, if I want to write, you know, singer-songwriter pop style music, then get some of that and see how well you can fit that style.
Yeah, exactly. I remember I was reading this book on Bob Dylan like years ago, and I remember him talking about how he would take, I can't remember which song, but he would take specific songs that he really liked. He would memorize them, you know, all the lyrics and everything. And then he would completely rewrite them, but using the same rhythm, yeah. The same, you know, type of wording, stanzas, whatever. And he would basically just make version 2 of that song, but by Bob Dylan. And he would do that all the time just to get to know that artist, to get to know like that type of music and see what he could do. And it's, I remember in Peak, he talks about Benjamin Franklin, I think. Yeah. He would, right?
Remind me.
Yeah. I believe it was Ben Franklin, but he wanted to teach himself how to write. And so he would take news articles, he would read them and then not look at them for 2 weeks. And then he would try to rewrite them, you know, and he would, you know, try to match the type of tone they had and the types of words they used and all of that. So, and then he would compare the two and then see, you know, where he's falling short or whatever. And apparently he got really good at writing just by doing that type of thing. So you're learning how to mimic and how to think like someone else. You're developing the mental model of how things work. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a million examples of artists and musicians doing that. Yes.
I mean, that's pretty much the life of a jazz musician is, I mean, sometimes they compose their own stuff, but mostly they take, you know, the lead sheet from some song that's been done a billion times already. They usually right. just kind of play the normal melody with the chords, and then they just make up their own thing. Okay, we're going to stick with the same chords, but now you're just going to improvise and come up with something that feels similar but isn't, and, you know, fits the vibe of that song. I mean, that's what jazz musicians do. And, I mean, jazz musicians they're built around improv, but that's composing on the spot. That's
right.
That's it.
But it's perfect because it gives you restrictions. It gives you a direct goal and a great original piece of music if you do it right, because it belongs to you.
Yeah. There's this, so you'll have to tell me if this is something you experienced, but I certainly did, and I certainly witnessed this in a lot of students. I think I even brought this up weirdly last week. But I think there's this feeling you get when you're composing or creating something, like the thing that you create is really special, and there's you feel like you have to write a great piece of music, and if it's not great, then, you know, it's not there yet, you got to keep got to keep working at it and make it really good. And I think there's a place for that, but it's almost like saying, I want to be a really good speaker, so I'm not going to speak very much until I can get it just right. Perfect. But really, you need to just do it a lot. And you need to feel like you can throw away 99% of what you write. So I think that's where people go a little bit wrong is, I think if you're you want to get good at writing music, you should write a stupid amount of music. And you should do it often in ways that, like, you have zero intention of keeping it or trying to show it to anybody. You're just, you're drilling, you're practicing, you're rewriting a song. Like you said, I think that's a perfect thing to do. Take a song, change it, make it feel like the original song, like try to capture the same vibes, the same whatever, the right. essence of that piece of music, but change it and then throw it away because you don't care. It's not, you aren't trying to create the perfect version too. You're just trying to do lots and lots of this that you get good at it and force yourself to, or try to make yourself learn how to fit these different styles and be able to do these potentially difficult things.
So on the subject of avoiding speaking, if you want to be a good speaker, because you want to wait till you do it right. So the last month or two, I got sick or whatever. I just kind of been off my game. I don't know. I kind of kept dabbling at this painting that I'm working on. And I worked on a little bit here and there, but I got to this point where I just kind of hated it. Like, it's in a really ugly stage. I don't really know how to solve the problems that I'm facing. Like, I'm just really sick of it. And I just got stuck. And I, just like Zach, I'm frustrated and I don't want to work on it, even if I want to be an artist, you know, whatever. Like, the day-to-day is all of a sudden really frustrating. And it kind of stayed like that for a while. So I start talking to my friend about it. I'm like, man, I hate this thing. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't know how to get past this. And he's like, you know, the sunken cost fallacy will really get you. So he's like, you have to be careful of that. So why don't you just quit this one and do, like, you know, and start another one and then another one and just keep going. And at first, you know, my first reaction was, okay, I'm not going to quit this painting. Like, I've sunk way too much into this. Like, yeah, the cost is too high now. I'm not going to let this go. You know, I have to finish this thing. And I'm like, sort of upset with this thought. And I was not at home at the time. And, you know, a couple hours go by, I come home and I had finally, like, my brain had gotten to the point where I'm like, maybe I just let it go. Maybe I just don't do this one and I start another one. And, like, that this weird feeling in my brain of, like, I had just sort of let go of all this tension. And then I sit down at my painting and I'm like, well, if I'm not going to do it, I might as well just, like, have some fun with it. And then I paint for, like, 5 hours. So it absolutely, it was so weird. It's like, okay, wait a minute. If I don't care about it, then it gets done. Like,
yeah,
it shouldn't work like that. But when it's so tied, you know, if this painting is so tied to this idealized version of myself in the future that is an artist, there's so much pressure on that. And it's almost, if you can identify where that reward is, you know, this reward, because I had sunk so much into it and I see it as, like, you know, I need to finish this painting so I get to the next one and blah, blah, blah. It's like the reward is all of a sudden in front of me. Like, it's far ahead of me, like on the top of this mountain. And it's like I'm fighting this uphill battle of, you know, if this painting needs to be perfect, which, you know, in my head it does because it plays into everything else. If it has to be perfect, well, that means every single time I work on it, I have to be in prime, you know, Daniel painting mode. Like, I have to be at my best every single time I touch it. Well, I hardly ever feel like that. So I hardly ever want to paint. And I don't, you know, and then it's like, even if you are painting, every stroke you make, it's like, wait, was that the best? I don't know. And it's like, God damn it. Like, you just get so frustrated with it. Yeah. So you just want to quit because that reward, it's like, it's at the top of the hill and it's all just, like, crushing down on you. But as soon as I, like, let that go and I was like, nope, I don't care anymore. It's like the reward sank to the bottom of the hill. And then it's like, okay, maybe this metaphor isn't perfect, but it's like every mistake I made doesn't matter, just kind of falls down, and every good thing I do, it's like, oh, cool. I wonder if I can get some more of that, you know? And it's just like this playful thing. And I wonder if, you know, Zach is doing something similar where you do have this thing that you love. You do want to be a composer or whatever. That's genuine and real. But it starts, you know, if it's so far in the future, it gets to the top of that hill or that mountain, and it gains so much pressure. It all starts pushing down on you, and you feel like you have to be operating at a perfect level every time you touch it. And it's just like the speaker who wants to be a good speaker, but they never want to talk because they don't want to be a bad speaker. You know, it doesn't make you better. It just adds too much pressure for you to get it right. And so I don't know how to manually like make that happen all the time. Like, you know, I've been aware of this thing before, but it makes a huge difference. So paying attention to where you see your reward, I think, is really important.
Yeah. And actually, I love that you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about that tonight, which is, I think that sometimes the reason why you don't like something is because it is important and you care about it, and no other reason than that. And I've seen that happen just even doing one thing where I'm working on it, I'm having a great time, it's really fun, sucks me in, just losing myself in it, exactly what I want. And then it gets towards the end of, okay, you got to wrap this up, you got to get it out there, you got to show it to people, you got to finalize this thing, and suddenly it's, I don't know, this isn't really, it's not doing it for me anymore. It just tends to happen at that final 20% virtually every time. And it's almost an imperceptible change, but it still happens where it becomes important, and it becomes a thing that gets tied to me as a person and my value and right, the way I see myself and all that stupid stuff. So it can just be as simple as, you know, I like to play Hearthstone because it doesn't matter, but when I go play piano, I see that as important, and I'm worried right about whether I'm going to be good at it or not good at it, or, you know, I have this vision of myself, and that you're thinking about that as you're trying to play, whereas when you're playing Hearthstone, you don't care because it's just Hearthstone.
Right. You know, this idea that there's this thing that you want to do, but then when you go to do it, it's frustrating, right? That happens with just about everything. But if it's not something you really care about, it doesn't really matter. Like, there are many days where I don't want to wake up. That doesn't mean I want to die or I don't want to live. It just means that I'm really tired and I don't want to get up. So if I viewed, you know, waking up at the exact time as like, you know, part of my identity or whatever, then I don't know what I'm saying. It's just that the fact that you don't want to do the thing that you actually do kind of want to do, it doesn't mean that you should give up on it necessarily.
Right.
You know, I think this happens all the time. The only difference is that it's happening to something you really care about. And so then you start right to question the bigger picture and yourself, and like, oh, am I even capable of this kind of thing? You know, whatever.
Right. If you didn't feel like playing Hearthstone, you wouldn't question it. You'd be like, well, I don't feel like playing Hearthstone.
Right.
You're not worried about who you are as a person. You just don't. But you don't feel right like composing, and suddenly you're analyzing everything about yourself.
Yes.
Well, okay, how do you fix that?
Well, I don't know, but okay, this is the other thing I wanted to bring up, so I'll pass on that answer real quick. Also, in your default state of mind, or just human being, when we're sort of comfortable with life or whatever, and you know, you're sitting on your phone all day, or I don't know, you're playing Hearthstone all day or whatever, it's like your mental fortitude is at, you know, a certain lower level of just, I don't know, just like normal default level of whatever. when you decide to take on something like this, where you want to be a composer, that's a lot of work. And that's a very difficult thing to do. Your brain is not automatically ready for that. It takes time to build up. And you have to learn, like, you have to gain that momentum. You have to, like, find, you know, take time to get to a level where you can actually handle this stuff. And I've run into this with everything that I do. You know, when I was sick for a couple of weeks and then I was just lazy and for a couple of weeks and I just like wasn't feeling it, I cannot just jump straight into being 100% again right off the bat. It takes a lot of time to build that up. And so if you choose a hobby or choose some kind of goal that's like very extravagant and then you expect yourself to live up to those expectations the next day, it's not going to happen. So, yeah. And then he also says something, like, he's not sure if he should force motivation for this, if it's not there organically. And I'm thinking, I hardly ever get organic motivation, you know, coming from nothing. You know, it's not like it just, I don't know, you just have this well of exploding motivation suddenly, and you're just able to be this, you know, crazy composer and write for 4 hours a day. That's not an easy thing to do, especially coming off of, you know, being in default human mode or whatever. I don't know where he's at, you know, when he's saying this, and it could be that he's, you know, whatever. But for me, it's like this type of thing, you have to learn how to build up. And, you know, that's what I deal with all the time with getting back into art or getting back into music or whatever. Like it takes a lot of time to build up. So like the mental fortitude aspect of this is something I just wanted to bring up, because that can instantly make you feel like you're unable to accomplish this extravagant goal, when really it could just be that instead of, you know, a couple days expectation, you need, you know, a couple months expectation of, you know, to get up to where you need to be.
So it's subtle opinion though on that. So I think that you're 100% right. This is the kind of thing that you build momentum for over time, but I honestly think that sitting down for 4 hours is a mistake, especially if that's not a rewarding 4 hours. I think you're so much better off doing, you know, sit down for 20 minutes every day or maybe twice a day or something. But the problem with doing 4 hours is that unless that's just an amazing 4 hours, that is such a crushing psychological weight that you have next time you think about sitting down to compose. Even if you're not really thinking about it in those explicit terms, if there's this feeling of, oh, today, should I sit down to practice my composing? Because last time that was 4 freaking hours of something I didn't really even enjoy. There's just this innate aversion there to, you know, opening that up again. So I think making it friendly to yourself of, I'm going to sit down. I mean, I genuinely think the 2-minute challenge is valid here. Maybe you don't want to have it that small, but maybe you do. Just, I'm going to sit down for a very tiny amount of time every day and just start doing this. And even restricting the time can cause you to start having ideas and start to crack that egg open a little bit of, oh man, I really wish I had tried this or that. And you start to think and start to, you know, visualize and imagine what you could have done and what might work and what might not. And you start to actually have ideas rather than just this sort of mindless goofing around. I think that can be, you know, you don't do 4 hours is what I'm saying. It can kind of mess you up for later.
When I read 4 hours, I was like, oh my God, that's a long time to do anything. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do 4 hours on something unless, you know, I had breaks and I would, but you know, that's a long time. But okay, so he says at some point that he's wondering if he should train himself to be the type of person that would sit down, or he wishes he was the type of person that would enjoy this or whatever. He has some idea of this type of person that he either should be or wishes he was or whatever. I've definitely done this before, but what if I've learned anything from us talking over the last year or so, it's that You can't plan stuff on who you wish you were. Like, stop doing that. If as soon as you start saying, oh, I wish, just shut up. Just don't do that. Start planning things around the person that you actually are. So if 4 hours feels really frustrating, Do not do that. If 2 hours is really motivating and exciting, keep doing that. You know, if it doesn't work, stop doing it. It's like, you know, all of your systems and everything, it should always be to try to support and grow the person that you currently are, you know, not this person that you wish you were. That's a thing that needs to stop. It's just such a big thing that I've dealt with for so long. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if I fall short on something, it's like, oh, you know, I'm falling short on who I wish I was or whatever. Yeah. It's just this dream crusher. And it's just stupid because it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah,
I'm going on a lot of rants today. Yeah.
No, that's good. You haven't ranted in a while, so I'm glad it's coming out today. Okay. No, I agree. I think we almost always blame ourselves in that I don't have the willpower, I don't have the grit, I'm too lazy, or you know, I'm not smart enough or creative enough or whatever. And that, I think that's just a bad way to think. We talked about this last week. I think honestly the Batman effect is a beautiful example of this, in that the kids who were really smart, who performed really well, were pretending to be Batman, having fun, literally wearing a cape or pretending to be Bob the Builder or Dora or something. Just pretending to be someone else. That's what made it fun, and that's what made them do really well. And the kids who were really self-absorbed, who were thinking, what do I do? I mean, that's what they did in this experiment, was they made them think about themselves even more so than normal, and that made them perform worse. It's a freaking science paper with graphs and stuff. It tells you that. It's very straightforward. And the difference is huge. If you're sitting down trying to write music and thinking, am I good, am I bad, or whatever, then that's wrong. Provably, that is wrong. You should just be having fun, whatever mental path you have to take to get there.
Yeah. So, okay. How do you not do that? I do think that the whole, like, exploding a problem, where you're writing that list, you're cracking the egg or the smooth surface, whatever you said. When you do that, you stop thinking about yourself so much, because you have this giant list of things that, you know, you want to solve. You have something to focus on that besides yourself. So that would be one way.
Yeah. I like what you had said about taking a song and rewriting it, or just start from something and do drills, you know, do things that are a specific challenge to you of, can I write something that fits this style? Or, I mean, start thinking that way and build these concrete paths for yourself. If I'm going to get better at writing music by doing this specific thing, not by just sitting there noodling around on a piano for 4 hours. So I think that, like, brings your mind into something immediate, something solvable, of this, you know, this path forward of specific things to work on. And if you start having ideas of, man, I wonder if I could write this kind of thing, or write a riff that sounds like that, or you have a few notes that sound cool to you and you're trying to, you know, flesh that out, that's great. Those are specifics. Anything that gets your mind down into the immediate rather than that big picture stuff, I think that's where you want to head.
So, you know, I don't know what to tell Zach exactly. It's not like we can give him an answer of give up or not give up, but I would give a second chance to anything that you seem to gravitate towards. You know, if you want to be a composer, why? You know, there is something there. There is actually something that you love about that idea. What is it, and why? This is a very difficult human question to answer. The things we love, or the things we want to be, it's not always clear why we want those things, but they are there and genuine. So before giving up because it's frustrating, you know, try changing the methods. Try moving the reward from some far-off idealized version of yourself to something in front of you. And stop trying to to do the things you wish you could do, all right? Because that always leads to being really frustrated. You want to focus on and grow the things that you enjoy. And it doesn't always seem right. Like, you know, like the type of art I like to draw might be different than what I initially thought, mm-hmm. but it ends up being, oh, wait, I find this really enjoyable. Find this really enjoyable. Thank you. Yes, I find this. Find this really enjoyable. Why is that? This is not what I initially thought I wanted to do. But okay, I like this. Let me keep doing this. Let me keep going down that direction and start letting go of some of these, you know, initial assumptions you made about who you thought you wanted to be, and really try to pay attention to what you like and enjoy and are interested in, and keep trying to grow that.
Yeah. And I honestly think that most humans can be interested in most things if they're presented in the right way and they're able to go about it with the right mindset.
Right.
I mean, there's exceptions, but really for the most part, and I found this with myself, even stuff that I thought was stupid and lame, I hate doing taxes. Hate doing taxes. And this year was the first year that my wife and I were filing together. So I was doing our taxes and just dreading it, absolutely dreading it. But honestly, once I kind of got going and things started to click a little bit, I'm like, okay, I get it. And I start putting together and I get done and I start thinking, well, I could start figuring things out for next year. And I'm actually Yeah, no, actually, yeah. And I think what happened was that it felt like this, the thing that I hate about taxes is that they feel vague. I never really know if I'm doing it right. There's always this worry of, is the IRS going to come to my house and arrest me because I was off by a dollar or something? There's this fear and this feeling of just, right. I don't know what to do. But once I had gotten far enough to where I start to think, okay, I think I get it. I think I understand what the different components are. I understand how they fit together a little bit. Then it just starts to click, or I start to feel a little bit in control of it, where I get it. I don't get everything, but I get enough to where it kind of makes sense to me. And then something that I just hated suddenly feels a little bit interesting, despite me not even wanting it to. And, you know, I've been doing budgety stuff and like trying to sort out investing and things like that in the past few weeks. Then it's been kind of fun. I really think if you can get to the point where you kind of have your head around it a little bit, where you do have the specific things in front of you and you're able to solve some of them, and you develop this feeling of, you know what, I solved these 5 problems. I could probably solve some more and that'll be really cool. And then you do it and you have this feeling of, wow, I see more of them in front of me and I can continue to pursue them. And hey, I wrote something and actually it's small, but it's cool. And I have ideas for other things I could write. And I bet if I got far enough, I could start putting some things together and having something even more substantial that I wrote. Like, that's a really cool feeling. I think anybody would enjoy that. If you can get your head in the right place and give yourself a little bit of time to start piecing things together, I think that just feels good.
So I totally agree. Yeah. I think the not knowing what to do is one of the most uncomfortable, awful feelings ever.
Yeah.
And so that's why taxes are so frustrating at first. I actually kind of enjoy them now too. But at first it's like, I don't understand anything. And there's so much paperwork and weird terminology that doesn't make any sense, and yet you have to do it. It's very important, it's very expensive, and it's just stupid. But if you're able to come up with a couple just very specific questions that you need to answer, that's actually, like I said, like, satisfying curiosity is extremely enjoyable. I don't really know why, but it just is. Like, I wonder what this is. Oh, it's this. I don't know why that's so enjoyable, but it is. And you can apply that to anything. If you can come up with a couple specific questions to answer or problems to solve, suddenly it's kind of enjoyable and you just keep going. It's like, oh, well, if I solve those, I can solve more. And even with something as stupid as taxes, it can become kind of enjoyable.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think it's fair to think that you don't like composing music, because that is just really fun and rewarding. It really genuinely is. You just might have to sort a few things out to where you can get there, to where it starts to feel that way.
That was my thoughts on it too.
Yeah.
But also, if you're still feeling very frustrated after 3 more years of doing this, I don't know. Don't blame us.
My rule is a month. We brought this up for something a few weeks ago. I think your time horizon is a month. You ought to be able to get there in a month.
Well, okay.
That's fair.
This is okay. I'm projecting. But if this is something that you really want, your method can be limited to 1 month, okay? But your idea of being this thing or this thing that you love, I would not quit after 1 month. So if 1 month you're still frustrated with the way you're working, stop working that way, work a different way, try it again for another month, and see if you can, you know, find a method of working that works for you. And if, you know, that's still not working, try it again for another month. If you do,
so your rule is 3 months then.
I don't know. My rule for myself is literally never, like just never stop, because for some reason I just can't, even if I really want to.
Yeah, but you,
I'm,
you didn't grind it out for 10 years before you had a good session of art or something, right? Like you enjoyed it reasonably early on.
Yes, but if I had given up. But I'm assuming that there's something in, I guess I was assuming that he had played music before, or, you know, a little bit or something. I don't really know exactly, you know, what point he's at. If he's going from, you know, ground zero to I want to be the next John Williams, you know, I don't really know. But for me, I'm pretty sure the first month of me playing guitar was really frustrating.
I bet you really liked it, though.
I probably liked certain aspects of it. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a really hard question. When do you give up?
And it's a stupid answer to say 1 month or 3 months, right? Like that. There's no way that something dumb like that can be a valid rule. But I feel like you should be able to get to the point where you get out of that feeling of, I don't know, I just kind of goofed around and it didn't feel that good and I'm not really that happy with it. I think that feeling, you should be able to move beyond that in a fairly short period of time. On the horizon of months, not years. Can you imagine grinding that out for years?
No, okay, but...
Right.
But think about... There's this thing that he really loves, okay? I'm assuming he really loves this idea of being a composer. So he goes for 1 month trying to be that composer, and he's frustrated. He goes, I guess I'm not meant to be a composer. My dreams are crushed. My life is ruined. But Mike said after 1 month, give up. Hold on. Mike said give up after a month, so I have to give up on my dream. What if after that 1 month he goes, well, let me rethink this goal, okay? What if it's not, you know, a film composer that I want to be? What if it's like a pop artist that I want to be? Well, you know, what if he just is a little unclear on that end goal or that initial idea? What if he just needs to review that, you know? What if that makes all the difference? And so, you know, he was just aimed in the wrong direction slightly.
Yeah, but what if it's just not the time? What if he's just... not in the right headspace to be writing music, and he'd be way better off starting to do weightlifting or going to a rock gym or doing other random hobby or meeting people at a basket weaving thing or something. Like, what if it's just not the thing to do right now?
Well, he didn't say it was between this and basket weaving. He said it was this. So I just think it should get a yes. You should be able to question that. Be like, okay, after 1 month, I hate this. maybe it's not for me. Like, yeah, maybe if it's that easy for you to say to yourself, okay, well, it's not for me. But if, like, it stays this burning thing in him for the rest of his life that he always wanted to be a film composer, I think he should be allowed more than a single month to give it a shot.
Well,
and it's okay. More the methods he's using than that actual goal. But yeah, I see your point.
By the same token, having that kind of intense pressure of I have to make this work or else I give up on my dream cannot be good. Like, that can get you in that very self-centered analytical headspace. And if you just say, you know what, maybe for reasons that I don't totally get right now, this is just not really clicking with me. Maybe I'll come back to it later in a couple months. Maybe I'll just be more into it. Maybe I need to do this during the summertime instead of the wintertime, or I don't know. But like, there's something freeing about not feeling like you have to figure it out right now. You could just walk away and then go back to it.
I think you should remove the feeling of have to, right? Especially if this is like, you know, no one's forcing you to do this. This is something he wants to.
Yeah, you said yourself that you couldn't get anywhere on this painting until you gave up on it. And then you're just painting on it all day. Right? Like, you needed to give it up.
But I still technically didn't give it up.
But you...
But yeah. And no, I kind of agree that if you have this deep feeling of have to, and it's like this...
Yeah.
Like, you're just this slave to this idea, that's probably toxic and bad. Right? Like, you probably shouldn't feel like that. But if this is something that you really want to do, and you like, the thought of it gives you joy, and not this crushing pressure of, I have to do this, or whatever. If it gives you joy to think about it, then it's worth trying a few different methods to get there, right?
I agree.
Okay.
I don't think that you should sit there. I think it's totally valid to just walk away from something for a while for reasons that you don't get. And let me add this thought.
I also agree with that, but...
Okay. All right. Well, let me just say this too, okay? Just to sort of fill out my perspective here. I think, without question, anybody can learn to write music and be really good at it. And a lot of people would disagree. I think they're dumb. And my specific example, which we've brought up many times, is that everyone learns to speak. Even really hard languages. You know, English is not easy, and Chinese is, good Lord. Everybody learns to speak it. Because you're in the right environment, you are too young to be in your own head, and you just learn it. And you can do the same thing with music. It's really genuinely not, I mean... It's not literally like speaking, but there are very many similarities. You take a bunch of patterns and sounds and you put them together and you make things that just literally anyone can learn to do it. And that's not to say it's easy or there's something wrong with you if you can't. My point is that you're just, if you aren't progressing at it, then you're just doing it wrong. And that can be a very hard thing to figure out. But if you can get yourself in the right spot, you will learn it. Full stop. You will. Can't promise that the other human beings are going to love it, because people just have their preferences and it's really hard to predict, but you can write stuff that eventually you will think is good. You can learn that. So there, to me, it should not be the question of, can I or can't I? Do I have it in me? Am I one of the gifted ones? That is irrelevant. It's just, it is. You can learn to do it. Anybody can. Human beings, we have these brains that are really good at that sort of thing. We're lucky to have them, but we do. So just, that's not a question. Whether it's not
right,
whether or not it's the right thing right now, that's a different question.
But if you're running, yes, I agreed. Yeah. If you're running into frustration with it, you know, okay, you just said everyone can learn music. If Zach is trying to learn music and he can't do it and he's frustrated, the fault is his own. There is something wrong with his methods,
yes,
right? That is 100%. Causing this frustration and blocking him from learning it. So after 1 month, maybe try some different methods. All right.
Okay.
And maybe those will work.
You should try new methods after a week or after 1 day of not getting anywhere. Like, you should be exploring different things.
Yeah.
My point is that there should be some reasonable time of, you know what, if I'm just still not enjoying this,
yeah,
it's fine. It's not a big deal. You can walk away. You can come back to it. Try something else for a while. Sometimes, genuinely, sometimes you just got to get your head somewhere else for a while. Like, if you're just beating your head against the wall for too long, you can get really stuck. And I don't think that's good either.
I agree with that.
All right. I kind of feel like we've projected our own personal experiences and thoughts onto poor Zach for long enough. Do you have any closing thoughts on that?
Well, I would like to know what he ends up doing.
Yeah.
And good luck. And it really is. I project so strongly into this stuff, and I'm just, he's frustrated with music. It's like, I remember when I'm frustrated with music. It's not, I'm not diagnosing you. This is just a reflection of myself. So, yeah.
Good luck. In my mind, the number one goal is to make it fun. Like, that should be achievable. It is.
I agree. If you're running into frustration, then you're doing something wrong. Not to say, you don't get frustrated here and there, but I guess we've kind of said it all already.
All right. Well, let's close out then. I think we've argued long enough. So thanks, everybody, for listening to us fight. Remember, you can support the show on the podcast platforms. There should be a link in the show notes. There's also a link on YouTube, or even YouTube's support mechanism, whatever that's called. We have merch. We have a whiskey glass and a coaster. Thank you very much for supporting and listening and just hanging out with us. Love to hear your thoughts as well. This feels like the type of thing that maybe a lot of people have their own personal experiences that they might want to express. So we love to see and read that kind of thing. So thanks. We'll see you in hopefully a week.